sinusubukang hanapin ni Dr. Joshua Roos kung ano ang umaakit sa mga kabataang lalaki upang sumama sa mga grupong militante o sumuporta sa kanilang mga ideolohiya. Iniisip ng guro mula sa Australian Catholic University na ito ay maaaring konektado sa pagkalalaki ng isang tao.
In the Australian context, that's white male masculinity. It's people who dominate the parliament, dominate the professions and so on. What you find is that young men who are increasingly doing well in the professions, and there's a lot of them, if you particularly look at groups like Crescent Finance, who are the most successful Islamic superannuation company in the world. If you look at comedians like Amir Rahman, Nazim Hussain and people like that, Waleed Ali, these guys are very comfortable in working in a world that's dominated and defined by white men.
Idinagdag ni Dr. Roos na hindi lahat ng lalaking Muslim ay may kakayahang umayon sa ganitong kapaligiran.
And so you see an increasing gap within Muslim communities of young men doing well, who are capable of thriving and just contributing to society as citizens, like the vast majority of Muslims. And then you've got, you know, a group of young men, small but significant, who feel alienated, who feel marginalised, and who don't have the tools to articulate that. And so this Islamic State narrative, this radical narrative, offers them a sense of meaning, empowerment, makes them feel important, and they buy into that.
Samantala, si Abdul Rahim Elmi ay nagpapatakbo ng isang hindi para sa tubong organisasyon, ang Roots TV sa Western Australia. Sinabi niya na ang grupo ay nagtatrabahong kasama ng mga kabataang Muslim na pinawalan mula sa kulungan at ngayon ay nagtatrabaho upang pigilan silang mapasama sa mga grupong militante sa pamamagitan ng pag-aaral ng galing sa media. Naniniwala din siya na marami sa mga kabataang kasama ng ganitong grupo ay napapahiwalay, kaya madali silang maging target ng mga radikal.
Well, demographically, you're finding that Australian-born Muslims are, ironically, aren't doing as well as people who come over here as migrants. Now, there's a number of potential reasons for that, and I can't pretend I have the answer to everything. But what you do see are people who are coming over here as migrants are coming on skilled migration visas. They have a trade or an educational background that qualifies them for a job within Australia. So that's actually a quite different ball game to young men who have grown up here, gone through the education system, even having dropped out, who don't necessarily translate their educational background into success in the professions. So there's an increasing gap between migrants and Australian-born Muslims, and that's one of the key concerns.
Ayon na din kay Ginoong Elmi, marami sa mga ganitong kabataan ang gusto lamang marinig.
We got a young boy, sadly his older brother joined Syria, and his mom was approached, she approached me, she said, Elmi, is there any way you could speak to him? And he's only 15 years old. When I spoke with him, I could see that he's a very angry young boy. I mean, he doesn't attend school. There's no role model in his family. He was only raised by his mother. And every time you speak to him, he will tell you exactly what's happening in Syria, in Gaza, why the Muslim world are getting attacked. And you can see that he's very proactive on social networking. You can see that he's completely been brainwashed.
Ang maagang pakikialam ay isa pang posibleng solusyon. Sinabi ni Dr. Anne-Sophie Hemmingsen na mula sa Institute for International Studies ng Denmark na sumusubok ang kanyang bansa ng ganitong paraan sa kabila na mayroon itong taglay na problema.
It's a dangerous path because you're trying to tamper with something that isn't broken to prevent something from possibly happening in the future. So you have to be extremely careful. And that's why in a Danish context, this is, it's controversial.
Ayon kay Dr. Hemmingsen, may dalawang argumento sa sinasabing paraan.
One is that you should go out in school classes, for example, and sort of confront the problem head on. Teach the children about the dangers of ISIS, for example. Teach them about terrorism, the results of terrorism. And then there is sort of another school of thought that says, we don't want to do that. We don't want to address the problem directly. Instead, we should be more subtle and work around it.
Naniniwala si Dr. Hemmingsen na mas epektibo ang huling paraan.
We should not directly warn against, for example, ISIS. What should be done instead is try to build capacity to empower the children, to, for example, teach them about how manipulation works. So teaching them how do people try to manipulate with you, so that if someone tries, you will recognize it and you will understand what is going on. Or practical democracy, not teaching the children about democracy, but practicing democracy in the classes, so that the children learn from a very early stage how to maneuver in a democratic society and how to push their own agendas in a democratic society.
Naniniwala naman si Dr. Joshua Roos na kritikal ang pagbibigay ng kapangyarihan. Sa kabila nito, sinabi niya na sa Australia, hindi umuubra ang paraang ginagamit ng mga otoridad sa mga batang Muslim.
The typical multicultural approach is to fund community organizations and fund quite wealthy community organizations and leaders. Everyone who puts their hand up and says, I have an answer, has been funded. But that's not reaching young people. So what we need to do is better engage with young activists and young people in communities to reach these people at the margins, because by funding and maintaining the same pattern of funding multicultural bodies and self-proclaimed experts on radicalisation, you know, we're going down to history will repeat. We're going to see the same problem again.